The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry out of Kokomo, Indiana, and I am Pastor Schulze. Today we're continuing with John 1, and we shall turn to the 14th verse of this wonderful chapter, but first let us pray. Our Father, we pray for thy divine anointing on the declaration of thy sacred word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, if you have an internet system and like to have my webpage address to find other ministries we offer, I will give you the address at the end of this radio program, so have paper and pencil ready. Now, here's John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If you, dear ones, could weigh verses of scriptures in pounds or kilos or tons, how much do you think this verse 14 would weigh? I mean, how much would it weigh compared to other scriptures in the Bible? The Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What you have in this verse is the incarnation of Christ, the glorification of Christ, and the fullness of Christ. It is all in one single verse. First, let's consider the incarnation. Now you say, Pastor Schulze, that's a big word, incarnation. I'm not familiar with it. Well, I tell you, it's time for you to get familiar with it. When you become an auto mechanic, there are certain words that you must become familiar with to be a good mechanic. You have to learn the meaning of the words carburetor, ignition, and clutch plate. And so it is also true in every other discipline of learning, whether it's in physics or in medicine or in economics or in law or in agriculture. Now that's also true of Christianity. When you become a Christian, in order for you to become a knowledgeable Christian, a victorious Christian, you need to learn a few new words, and one of them is the word incarnation. The word incarnation is a word for which there is no good substitute. It is a purely religious and particularly Christian word, as carburetor is a particularly mechanical word for reciprocating engines. The word incarnation has no use except in Christianity. And the American College Dictionary has, at its first definition, the meaning of the word incarnation as being an embodiment. Incarnation means spirits taking on bodies, and they can take on human form. It refers here to Christ having come to earth to take on human form. You see, Jesus Christ, as we learn in the first two verses of this chapter, has always existed. He had no beginning. Rather, he is a source of all beginnings. But he never had a human body. He never took on human form. So when we use the word incarnation, we mean that Jesus took on human form. He clothed himself with a human body. He forsook the throne of his glory. He left heaven. He stepped down into the Virgin Mary. He stepped into a one-cell, then two-cell organism, which is called biologically a zygote. And then it went on from there. That's what we call the incarnation. That is what John means when he says the Word, that is Jesus, became flesh. He stepped into Mary's womb. In that womb, he went through the embryonic stage to eventually coming to full manhood. So then he suffered and he died in that body on the cross for the sins of the world. Then after that, he rose from the dead and he took on a new body, a body which would never die. So Jesus actually experienced two bodies in this life. The reason why he took on a new body is because the old human body that he had taken on before, in itself, it was now full of stains and full of the sins of the world, including your sin and my sin. So it had to be crucified. It was now unclean. It was now a condemned body. Jesus took the condemnation of all mankind upon himself in that first body he had, so that body was left in a grave. It was no longer holy. It was no longer usable for him. Every cell of it was corrupted by the sin of the world, so that that body was the most sinful, the most corrupt body ever placed in the grave in all of human history. So at the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ received a new body that would never know sickness, that would never know death nor sin. And in that body, that new body of our Lord Jesus, we will see him. All men someday shall see him in his glorified body when he comes to meet the saints in the air, and all shall acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. This new body, though, has one thing from the old body, and that's the scars. In this new body, there will be the scars of his loving sacrificial death for us. In this new body, we will see the scars in his hands, we'll see the scars in his feet, and we'll see the scar in his side by which he was pierced by a Roman soldier to see if he's still alive. Now, that's the doctrine of the incarnation in a nutshell. Consider now more fully what this dwelled among us means. The Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. And I'd like to take you to the translation of the Amplified Bible here on this 14th verse. And the Word Christ became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled. He fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us, and we actually saw his glory. The Amplified uses the word tabernacled. Jesus tabernacled amongst us, and that's a correct and a good word. In the Old Testament, we see God tabernacled in a tent of animal skins. God often appeared to Moses in this tent. Of course, God was not limited to a tent in meeting with Moses. At another time, he met him at Mount Sinai. Yes, the Bible says heaven is God's throne and the earth is his footstool. But the tent, you see, it was called the tent of meeting, where man would meet with God and God would meet with man. So the tabernacle came to be understood by the Jews as a dwelling place, as a meeting place of God, as the holiest place on the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord filled this tent, or this tabernacle. And this is not only true of the tabernacle, it was also true of the temple, which was built later on to replace the tent. It is in this temple why Isaiah the prophet met God in an unusual way. And this is what it says from Isaiah chapter 6, of which I shall read to you now. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he covered he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Here, my friend, is God meeting the prophet Isaiah in the temple. Now, in the New Testament, we have a change of man's meeting place with God. And that change is that God, in Christ Jesus, took on human form, and actually the body of Jesus Christ itself became now the meeting place between man and God. Dear ones, Jesus' body, his glorified body, is still the meeting place between man and God. We can only come to God through Jesus Christ, his Son. We come to God by praying in Jesus' name. Jesus is the door. He said, I'm the door. Jesus is the door to the Father. The Bible says, no man can come to the Father but by him, by Christ. John says, the Word dwelled, tabernacled amongst us. He walked amongst us, and his tent was his own body. And again, his body is now in a glorified state, the new meeting place for us to meet with God the Father. So his human body looked like and was like that of any other person. But there was one moment when his human form became clothed with the celestial glory that he had before the incarnation. And when he was dressed as he had been dressed from before the beginning of time. And that was on the Mount of Transfiguration. One time, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, three of his apostles, to a mountain to pray. And it says that as he prayed, as Jesus prayed, he was transfigured. Let me read this passage to you from Luke chapter 9. It says, "And it came to pass about an 8th day after these sayings, he, that is Jesus, took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening." Hallelujah. What a sight it must have been. The Amplified Bible says, "And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance became altered, and his raiment became dazzling white, flashing with the brilliance of lightning." Yes, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. If you would look at this verse in the King James Bible, which I use extensively, you notice there's a parenthesis around this glory passage. I looked this up in the Greek text, and the parentheses are not there in the oldest Greek manuscripts. And so it is an editorial edition of the King James scholars, so you might as well take it out. So our text should really flow to make this very plain. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Which is to say, when Peter and James and John saw Christ's glory in this, what we call the transfiguration, they saw that His glory, it was His glory that was full of grace and full of truth. There was nothing other that they saw in His glory but grace and truth. Consequently, since these apostles saw Jesus in His pre-incarnation glory, it tells us that Jesus was always, His glory was always, has always been full of grace and truth. Even before He spake the stars into the heavens and before He laid the foundation of the earth. Now what this all means particularly, that He was full of grace and truth, that is something we'll take up at the next week on this radio broadcast, and I'm excited about that message as I share it with you. Now, as for today, for those of you who have the internet, I shall give you my webpage address so you can see what other spiritual aids we have for you. And here's my webpage address. It's www.schulze. And Schulze is S-C-H-U-L-T-Z-E. I spell it to you again, www.schulze. Schulze is S-C-H-U-L-T-Z-E .org. O-R-G stands for organization. Now let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for giving us this precious time of teaching us today that the most Christ-like we can possibly be is if we are full of grace and truth, even as You were and as You are today, full of grace and truth. We pray that through this broadcast, lives will be changed forever. Bodies will be healed. Souls will be sanctified for the honor and glory of Your precious name. In Jesus' name, yes, indeed, we pray. Amen. Now, I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry out of Kokomo, Indiana. Goodbye now until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.